Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's gathered in your name in this place. I am so glad they're here. And I'm so glad, Lord, for those that needed your touch and that came and were ministered to. And I'm so happy, Lord, for those that have given into the offering. In Jesus' name, I ask that you would bless each household that it represents, that you would bless their obedience to you, and that you would honor the giving, the joyful giving from the heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's good to see you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Visitors, you're welcome. I don't know what else to say other than thank you for your attendance today. Can I just ask you a question? How many were here last week? Oh, good number. Now, second question is, it's not a trick question. How many remember what I preached on last week? One? Yes? Is there another? I feel like a lifeguard. Pastors don't make good lifeguards. I see that hand. Is there another? Praise God. I'll tell you why I ask. David said it like this: Thy word have I hid in my heart that I wouldn't sin against you. And in this series, we really need to know who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. We're talking about I in Christ. Obviously, the word Christ has an I in it. And when we realize that we are in Christ. But I will tell you something. I have discovered that the Word of God, when we come to church, it really is not enough just to partake of the meal on Sunday. You really need to get this. You really need to understand this. Friday morning, I was awakened in the wee hours of the morning. I don't know how else to say this. If this sounds harsh, I do not mean it to be harsh. Understand my spirit. But I saw some things throughout the wee hours of the morning when I was asking the Lord. Actually, I was asked, he said to me, he says, Ron, ask how many remembered what you preach on. You see, I can speak some things, and I speak naturally using my voice. But there is another realm, which you don't see. It's called the spirit realm. And you are made up of spirit, soul, and body. We talk about the, you know, God being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but you are made in the likeness and in the image of God. You are made up of spirit, soul, and body. You are not going to be able to comprehend everything with the natural understanding. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is not in my notes. Okay? Yet when I am among mature believers, I do not speak with words of wisdom, not with the kind wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak is of the mystery of God. His plan, God's plan, was previously hidden, even though he made it for the ultimate glory before the world began. Do you understand that this is for the glory of God? Who we are in him gives him glory. Praise God. They are, but the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had understood what they did, they would have not crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen and nor ear has heard or no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. We're talking about spiritual things that the forces of darkness cannot, do not understand. If they had understanding of it, they would have not crucified Jesus. I don't think they still get it. They believe the realm of the spirit, especially those under the direction of Satan. You know, they believe God, but they don't bow to God. The Bible says they believe and they tremble. They can't discern, they can't understand what God's up to. They don't know. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Last week, we spoke about being accepted. And the moment I say, about being accepted. You are accepted by God. An almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, loves to receive. He responds to people's worship. He responds to people's praise. Even the Bible says, for man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, the things that we're going to share today, just don't take them and say, oh, that was a good meal like you do at breakfast or lunch or supper. But take it home and see if it be so. Check it out for yourself. Do some study. Allow the word to become a part of you. Digest the word. I don't send home pamphlets with scripture verses on them. Every now and again, I see people taking notes. It's good for you to take notes because you need to see the word. You need to, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. Here's why it's important. But it was to us that God revealed these things. There are some things you're not going to be able to click with in the service. But in your study, something will click and you'll, wow, I didn't see that. I've had so many people say, I was studying the word and looking at the word and all of a sudden something just seemed to pop out. Why does it do that? Because the Spirit of God reveals things by his Spirit to your spirit. The Spirit searches out everything and shows us the deep secrets of God. You remember last week, I read that portion of Scripture where Jesus said, you're not slaves. Things don't get shared with slaves. You're my sons, daughters. We showed you the Scripture. And God says, I reveal things to my friends. Interesting that you are a friend of Almighty God. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're his friends. And the Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secret. And in verse 12, it says, and we have received, this is good news. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's about to share with us good news. And we have received God's Spirit. Not the spirit of the world. We have received God's Spirit so that we can know the wonderful things God has freely given. I can see you're all excited about that. One more verse. Verse 16 says, those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Now that's big. And when you begin to get together, when you begin to get together with the family of God, When you begin to get together with the family of God and you start sharing it, you start, you know, dwelling on it, but you get together with the family of God, and you know what happens? You start sharing, the next thing you know, you are sharing things and you go, whoa, man, I didn't know that that existed. Yes, it's in there. I would encourage you to come out Wednesday nights. I would encourage you. I'll tell you, there's so much meat in the Word of God, but when we take time to discuss the Word of God, it just kind of gets in you. It just kind of clicks somehow. We understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. When you say, Pastor Ron, well, why is this important? Well, the Word of God is alive and powerful. Hebrews chapter 4, 12. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit. That's how important it is. It cuts between the soul and spirit, between the joint and marrow, and it says, and it exposes innermost thoughts and desires. Maybe you don't want God, the Spirit of God, to know what your innermost thoughts and desires are. But I will tell you this, He's God. He already knows. Praise God. And He desires for us to confess that. And He desires for us to mull over, to chew, and to study His Word. Praise God. Just don't take my word for it. Take the Word of God and study it for yourself. Praise God. Allow it to become part of you. You see, that's something that we all can do. And there's such blessing in that. Praise God. So last week it was on acceptance. This week it's on security. Remember we've been talking a little bit about the cycle of anxiety and how that cycle of anxiety just goes around and around. You feel anxious, you attempt to control it, there's fear of losing control, and you attempt to control that. But I'll tell you, it's a hard thing when you are in that mindset, when you are in that box of anxiety. God has not given to you a spirit. Listen to what it says. God has not given to you a spirit of fear, but He has given you power, love, and a sound mind to whip that anxiety. Praise God. Every one of us, we said last week, have a unique identity. Each one of us have our own fingerprint. And to know that that uniqueness, because of that uniqueness, God knows how to deal with us as individuals. He knows what's best for us. That's one of the reasons why I need to continually exalt Him, to continually acknowledge Him. The Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He might direct your path. Is that what it says? No, it says He will. There's no stronger word in the English language than the word will or shall. You delight yourself in the Lord. You delight yourself in the Lord. You acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and He will direct your pathway. And it will not be a deviation away from His book, away from His thoughts. He'll lead you in paths of righteousness. For your sake? No. It says He will lead you in paths of righteousness for His sake. It's for His glory. Glory to God. He desires to bring about purpose in you and through you. Glory to God. Satan's been lying to you. Satan lies and says you're a sinner because you sin, and God says you're a saint who sins but have been declared righteousness. Even while we were in our sin, the Bible says He died for us. We're not perfect, but we are complete. Matter of fact, when the Bible says that you are complete in Him, that means we've got the whole package. God's got the whole package for you. That includes healing. Wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace, or the stuff that goes against peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, it doesn't say we might be healed, it says we are, past tense, healed. He's already looked after it for us. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So sometimes we just need to come into that relationship with God and receive His healing. And other times we need to get together with someone like this morning and have some prayer. But the fact is that we have all these things. We have them because of His work on the cross, because of His finished work, not just on the cross, but rising from the dead. It'd be one thing if He died and not been risen, but He did rise the third day, according to the Scripture. And not only that, there were some 500 people that saw Him after He rose. That's pretty good evidence. Whew, praise God. The disciples saw Him. The ladies that were around Him a lot saw Him. But I'll tell you, Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, there is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit, the power of the life-giving Spirit, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. What does that leave for you? That leaves you secure in Christ Jesus. That leaves you in a place where we know that God causes all things, everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. There's an insurance there that brings security there. But do you realize that because He has secured this for us, that that makes us, according to Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 31, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, if God is for us, boy, that's big. Sometimes we think God's against us. But if God is for us, who can be against us? Since He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? Who dare accuse us whom God has chosen for His own? For God Himself has given us right standing. Right standing. Right standing. How do you get that? You can't get there on your own. But the Lord has provided it for us, given us right standing. Thank you, Jesus. Who will then condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life, and He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Doesn't that give you a sense of security that we have an advocate in heaven sitting at the Father's right hand, ever making intercession for us? So you're going through something and Jesus is there. Well, Father, you know, they need your help right now. Good enough. Send an angel down there. Get her done. Praise God. So we're in a secure place in Him. Do you know? Do you know the provision of God? Do you know the security of God? Do you know the peace of God that surpasses understanding, that guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, so that you don't have to live in that cycle of anxiety and fear and torment? By the way, did I tell you fear has torment? Yes, it does. He has worked everything. Life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin and death. For Jesus Christ died for us and was raised to life for us. He is seated in the place of honor. I'll tell you something else. We talk about and sang about the love of God that doesn't go away. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, it says, can anything separate us from God's love, from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecution or hungry or destitute or danger and threatened with life? Sometimes we go through stuff and we go, oh, well, God's not with me. We begin to whine and carry on, you know. I don't know how God could love me. I'm going through this and he must be doing this thing to me because, well, I'm just not tight with him or something. This is where you need to read the Word of God again and again and again and again to remind yourself of what Jesus has done for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can anything separate us from Christ's love? The Scripture says, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, I was reading some of the tragedies that are happening in China. How this government is persecuting believers. They are literally taking over people's lives. They are destroying churches. They are not only putting ministers in jail, but in some cases, they are killing them. And here we sit in peace and in comfort and in the freedom to worship the Lord. And you can't even go to church without the government wanting to know about it in China. We do need to pray for China. Many of them that are believers, they know who they are in Christ. They know that they are secure in God. And they're not loving their own life. They're not loving their own life. But they are responding to the pressure. Paul said it like this, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. They know that. Praise the name of the Lord. In all that hardship and all that pressure, they're standing secure because we are secure in Him. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of God. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that what is revealed in Christ Jesus. And if I were sitting where you are, I would say, praise the Lord. Because I'm going to say it anyway, because it's so big. Thank you, Jesus. Look, I'm overwhelmed at the goodness of God. I'm overwhelmed. I can't help but praise Him. I can't help myself to praise Him. It just wants to flow out of me. Oh, my, my. And regardless of our nationality or anything about us, God, He just loves us all. God so loved the world. He didn't put any limits on that. He didn't put any boundaries on that. God so loved the world that He gave. Praise God. And He's made us. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're His child. And that makes you secure in Him. And when you leave here, I want you to feel like when you know Jesus, that you are secure in Him. On Friday night, I was with the Filipinos. And out of John 15, Jesus said this, if you will remain in me, I will remain in you. And when we were in Israel, and you're going to hear us talk a lot about some of the things in Israel, like we were looking over some of the pictures and some of our movies and things, and I just wanted to cry all over again because it was a wonderful experience. But when we were there, we saw the walls block, in some cases there was mortar in between them, but the rocks and the buildings have stood the test of time. Yes, some of them had been knocked down because of earthquakes, because of rain and because of wind And maybe it doesn't look exactly like it did when Jesus walked this earth. But they built them to remain. When you consider the huge blocks of stone, one upon the other. Yes, the Romans come in and pushed a lot of the stuff down and destroyed the temple. Yes, they did. We saw all kinds. There was days that we just went through ruin after ruin after ruin after ruin. But I'll tell you something. There was a good foundation for those stones. When we were in Hezekiah's tunnel, wow, you should see the stonework in the place. They were built to last. Somebody wanted those walls to remain. And God is building something in you where He wants you to remain in Him. But the Word says, remain in Him and He will remain in you. Much the very same as Jesus' half-brother James, who wrote the book of James, said, draw close to God, draw nigh to God, if you weren't using the King James, and He will draw nigh or close to you. Draw close to God and He will draw close, and He will draw close to you. We figure sometimes that, well, I don't really have to do anything because, well, God is God, He's almighty, and He just will do what He wants to do. But the interesting thing, He gives us permission. He gives us permission to talk to Him, to ask Him questions, to consult Him. He does. He gives, because He wants us to remain in Him. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Somehow, through a work of His Spirit, He's grafted us into this thing. And if we become separated, we don't have the juice from the vine to bring life. What he's after us to bear forth much fruit. How can we do that unless we know that we are secure in Him, that we are locked into Him, that we are connected to Him? In Him we live and move and have our being. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And, when it is God who enables us to stand firm for Christ. When He commissioned, the disciples, He's commissioning to us. He has identified us as being His own, placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as an installment, or should I say it like this, as a guarantee. Can you imagine? He's placing in our hearts like a guarantee the Holy Spirit. Praise God. If that brings us into a place of security to realize that we are hidden in Christ. Colossians 3 says that for you died to this life, but your real life is hidden with Christ in God. That's the real you. Praise God. And I do know that I am certain that God, who began the work, the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day that Jesus comes. How do I know I am secure? Well, I mentioned before, God has not given to me or you a spirit of fear or timidity, but He's given us love, power, and a sound mind. So, friends, what can we do? We can come boldly to the throne of grace, where we can receive His mercy and find grace to help at the time that we need it the most. So, when you realize that you are secure in Christ Jesus, you realize that the devil is defeated. Okay, they're really excited about that. It's the hardest thing to think about keeping our place in God. But our identities rest in Christ. And we said to you last week that what sets in is something that I would call spiritual amnesia. The side effects of the disease can cause us to chronically forget who we are, to chronically forget our place of security, to chronically forget our identity, especially when stuff that we are confronted with. Over and over and over, God tells us who we are, what we have in Him. Straight up, He tells us. And I mentioned last week that James describes this dilemma perfectly when he writes, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and forgets what he looks like after looking at himself, and he forgets and immediately forgets what he looks like." And I also mentioned last week there is a cure for this spiritual amnesia. Remember, remind, repent, repeat. Say it with me. Remember, remind, repent, repeat. You will of necessity need to go to the Word of God again and again. Matter of fact, I got some homework for you this week. You go home and read the book of Ephesians and Colossians. And in every place that you say that you see in Christ, I underline it in my Bible. You say, "Oh, Pastor, I can't underline my Bible." Well, get a Bible that you can underline in. Because in that case, you need to do some underlining. Because there's some underlining things that are there that are helpful to you. You can remind yourself in every place in my Bible, "I have in Christ, in whom, through whom," I underlined all that. I tell you what, I got so charged up. I says, "Man, this is something good to know." And I started working on it. All through the book, it's all through the book of Ephesians and all through the book of Colossians. That's your homework for this week. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And then you come, and if you don't get challenged in some way, you come to me and you say, "Pastor Ron, I didn't get a bit. I wasn't challenged one bit." And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll have such a word of prayer for you. But I believe that you'll be strengthened in your faith. You'll be strengthened in your inner person. That spirit that is within you will be renewed by the Spirit of Almighty God. See, the Holy Spirit, what He did was He spoke to men of old. He inspired them to write that word. And when it comes time to the inspired word of God, it's a good thing. Good. I don't know how else to say it. It's good for you to delve into that word. Okay. That which is spirit, and that which is flesh. And the importance of taking the word of God. Jesus said, "My words are life and spirit." And when you receive the word of God, you receive part of His spirit. The Holy Spirit can do things in a moment's time than I could teach in a year. That's how He works. Glory to God. You're having trouble at work? There's answers for that in the Word. You're having problems with an addiction? There's answers for that in the Word. You're having a problem in your marriage? There's answers for that in the Word. You're having problems with your kids? There's answers for that in the Word. And it's not about, "Well, I got to find the Word because I got to let somebody else know so I can use that Word to hammer them." That's not what it's for. It changes you. In the process, they used to say prayer changes things. I prefer to say it like this: prayer changes you. God hears and answers prayer. In fact, the changes happen because God. And you need to give God the space, the time, and the place so that He can minister to you. Remember the Word of God. Remind yourself continually of the Word of God. And there, part of this process is repeating the Word of God, or repenting of those areas that are not right, and then you repeat and go through that again and again and again and again. You are secure in Him. But the only way that you're going to know it inside is not by me talking about it. The only way, when we talk about acceptance, you have to, like I said earlier, it's not enough for me just to talk about it. I can't help you grow in God. I can give you the word so that you can be equipped. Okay? I can give you the word, but it's up to you. You got to take it. You got to mull it over. You got to make a decision. Praise God. It's not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. Are you ready to let the Spirit of God challenge you in this area? Thank you, Lord. Please stand.